meeting someone for the first time can be extremely awkward and for many even painful. Some avoid meeting someone for the first time like a plague. On the other hand, for others, it can be an extremely exhilarating and delightful experience. To meet someone for the first time is to be confronted with the unknown within the person who we are meeting. The truth is that in order to find out, though, the real person, to know whether another person is not possible upon the first encounter. In fact, it can take a lifetime of relationships, and then you will still not know everything about that person. Even a couple who is married can go a lifetime and not know everything about their partner. You know, something new may continually be revealed throughout the relationship, though. But this is the nature of who we are. We only reveal what we want to reveal about ourselves. I guess, as the saying goes, we all have hidden secrets and even those dreaded skeletons in our closets. And boy, we don't want to let go of them. We keep them sealed. All too often we may discover many things about a person after they die. These may be both good and bad. Throughout their lives, they may have hidden both good and bad aspects to even the closest relatives and friends. When we discover these hidden facts of life, we are just amazed. This often happens when we may have only known a person in their later years of life. I know when I lived in Fells Point, I remember knowing a person who fit this perfectly. He was a big man, I mean a huge guy, who in his later years owned a small neighborhood bar in Fells Point. Loved by everybody. And he seemed to be an extremely gentle, caring, loving person. Now, when he died, I did his eulogy to a crowd of over a couple hundred people who had gathered in the square in Fells Point. He had that many friends. Of course, I spoke of him as I knew him. And most everybody there knew him like I did. After the event, one of the long-time residents came up to me, and what she related, I just had a hard time believing. It seems as though this kind, gentle man that I knew, during his younger years, this gentle giant was just the opposite. He had a quick fuse, which led him to punch someone out at a whim. He was even arrested several times for his uncontrolled temper. So much for thinking you know someone. You know, the fact is that we are good about hiding those things in our lives we wish to not reveal. We keep the closet door shut tight so that others may not know what we are storing inside. We are skilled We are skilled in keeping who we are a secret. Now God, through Jesus, had just the opposite problem. He wanted to become known for who he really was and is. He wanted to have his creation know that he was not a revengeful God, but a God of love. He wanted to become known. And this is why Jesus. It was through Jesus that God was to become known. But how was Jesus to pull this off? Knowing that God is all-powerful and knowing, he could have easily let himself be known instantly with some overwhelming and awesome event or act, such as greatest miracle. He had the power to do this. But he needed to be known in a more lasting and meaningful way than just being a miracle performer of that moment in time. He needed to go through the normal processes of human relationships in order to gain human understanding. This led him to be introduced by a third party, who happened to be John the Baptist. This introduction was certified by God with a voice coming from heaven. "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." John also would be the one to introduce two of his very own disciples to Jesus through Andrew. That first encounter was enough for Andrew, who then brought his brother Peter to Jesus. So began the game of first encounters and first impressions. This was followed by new encounters between Jesus and his most innermost circle of followers. Through each encounter and through his teachings and miracles of healing, Jesus was gradually revealing who he was. But the revelation was far from complete. At Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is? Who do the people say I am?" They answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus asked, "Now who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" This is when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It seems as though Peter had gone way beyond first impressions and knew this Jesus. But you know, this was not exactly the case. He was willing to know and accept all that seemed positive. But when he was confronted with Jesus' future, his knowledge of Jesus fell short of reality. When Jesus related what was to happen to him in the future, his arrest, his torture, and the resurrection, then Peter didn't want to believe this part of who Jesus was. This was not the Jesus that Peter and the disciples wished to know. Therefore, Jesus then almost became a stranger to what they wished him to be. Now it was only 6 days later, after that encounter with Peter, and Jesus was to reinforce not only who he was, but who he would be. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, that inner circle, up on a mountain to pray. But it was not only a retreat to pray. It was not only a retreat to meditate. Jesus and his future had to be confirmed. This happened through the appearance of Moses and Elijah. And most importantly, the voice of God who once again stated, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Second time. Listen to him. For Peter, this was an event to be celebrated and to preserve. That's Peter. "I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." How about that, Lord? You're safe and sound. You can almost hear Peter saying, "You need not go into Jerusalem and go through all that foolishness you talked about." Peter still refused to let himself know Jesus and what his life was about. He just wanted to preserve his limited understanding by keeping Jesus in a safe place. Again, although Jesus was being revealed in this momentous event, he was not to be really known until after the resurrection. This was God's plan and was confirmed at the Transfiguration. But the time was not ready for this event to be known and understood. Therefore, in Luke, Jesus told the three witnesses, the disciple witnesses, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Tell no one. Keep it silent. I don't want anybody to know. Now, this may give credence to the fact that someone is not fully known until after they die. I don't know. This is when various points of understanding by various relationships come together after a death. The collective understanding brings with it fuller knowledge. And we see this in the Gospels. We are fortunate, for we have the accumulation of all the understanding and knowledge of Jesus which 2,000 years gives us. We are fortunate. We know what his life was all about. We read it. We hear it. Through faith, we have come to know Jesus. But you know, all too often, like Peter, we wish to keep him in safe quarters, outside of the mainstream of life. We do not want the likes of Jesus to enter the challenges and the trials of our lives. And again, like Peter, it's all too tempting to keep Jesus safely hidden within the walls of a sanctuary, the temples of theology, the closets of tradition, and the mysticism of liturgies. That's where he belongs. Keep him there. He's safe there. The Transfiguration tells us that such human limitations of Jesus that we wish to place on him are not the Jesus who came to reveal the God of all creation. To know this Jesus is to know the great sacrifice of the cross and the joy of the resurrection. To know this Jesus is to let him walk with us throughout the joys and throughout the trials of life. This is when we begin to realize God's love and when we begin to know the reality of Jesus. It is then we begin to understand the gift of God's salvation for us. It is then we begin to hear God's proclamation. and we hear, listen carefully to hear it. We are his children. We are his children in whom he is well pleased. Just think of that statement. We are his children in whom he is well pleased. Amen. Thank you.